Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, my name is Denise Eckert. I'm from the Relaxation Lounge. And I love coming on here and sharing different techniques to help you lower your stress. Because you know what? Stress is just not good. And today I have a guest, and her name is Lynn Delmastro-Thompson. And her clients call her gentle and calm. Just think of it, gentle and calm. They say working with Lynn is like being with a friend who cares. Many clients say she's giving them back their lives. Lynn Thompson is a talented healer and hypnotist and the owner of Heartfire Healing, a 12-year-old company. Lynn is a sought-after speaker and author of the Amazon bestseller, You're Not Your Diagnosis. Lynn helps women with chronic health symptoms have more energy so they can have a peace of mind, a meaningful life, and are independent. Now, Lynn has a tremendous understanding and compassion for her clients because she's struggled with life-changing health crisis as well. She's passionate about sharing the message that our bodies can heal from serious health issues when we have the right support. So welcome, Lynn.
Thank you for having me.
So now, what is your story? What inspired you to do the work you do?
Yeah. So when I was 25 years old, I was at the time told that I had leukemia. And that was, as you can imagine, completely life-changing. I went from thinking I was just a healthy graduate student pursuing a PhD in history to having this scary diagnosis. And over the next 3 years after that diagnosis happened, I kept being told by the medical field that I was getting better. They looked at certain lab tests to see if this medication I was on was, quote, working. And the answer to that was always, oh, yeah, it looks like it's working. And at the same time, my body started to show me that something was wrong. So I started to lose an incredible amount of weight. Like I went from being somebody who probably could have lost a little bit of weight and it would have been a good thing to somebody who was like a human skeleton. And when I would say to, you know, the doctor, like, I don't feel well, I don't feel like, you know, you keep saying this is working, I'm getting better, I feel like my body and my life experiences otherwise, I was just dismissed constantly. And so for 3 years, I struggled with that and struggled with kind of trying to get the medical field to hear me when I was saying this doesn't make sense. So it really was during that time period that I started to explore other avenues of health and healing because I wasn't being listened to. I was being dismissed. And so eventually I came to find out 3 years later from the medical field that it was a misdiagnosis, that what my intuition was telling me was right all along. Very scary misdiagnosis, but I know many people have struggled with either getting a diagnosis or some sort of incorrect diagnosis. So this isn't uncommon. But it really brought my passion to, like, as I started to see these other things that helped me heal, that was when I started to realize that there's this whole other world. Like I was a girl who grew up in Idaho and had no exposure to alternative medicine. You know, like the most alternative thing was I actually did do something called biofeedback when I was a teenager, but that was basically all I knew. And then I went from that to, you know, learning about energy healing and learning about acupuncture, and all of those things helped me. And so as I regained my health, as I found out, you know, this was a misdiagnosis and I started getting the correct treatment, I became really passionate because I knew other people were struggling and suffering with health issues. And the things that were helping me, I really wanted to help other people.
Wow, that's quite the story. Now, what practice did you find most helpful in, bringing, because I could just imagine the stress you're under that whole time.
Exactly.
At a life altering, you know, a life damaging diagnosis, and you're trying to balance that Meanwhile, you're being misdiagnosed. Just the stress in your body would enhance the problems as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And the only thing that they kind of offered from that perspective was, oh, you can go to a support group. And I was like, that sounds absolutely awful. I don't know if I knew the word empath then, but I like had the concept of what an empath was. And I thought sitting around with a bunch of cancer patients sounds like the worst thing I could possibly do for myself. Like, no. So it was up to me to find my way. And in the beginning, what really helped me was biofeedback, like learning to be hooked up to sensors and learn to regulate my nervous system, as well as therapeutic yoga. Those were kind of my two starting places. That was the starting place. And then I broadened from there, you know.
And so you basically do work with people who have chronic diagnosis. What practice do you see working for them the best?
So I use a couple of different modalities. I progressed in my work from kind of those starting places to I do energy work in the form of I'm trained in body talk and body intuitive, which I'm happy to speak more in a moment about what those are because most people have no clue. And then I also am a trained hypnotist. And I find actually the two of those things in conjunction are really, really beneficial for people.
I can see that. Like with the hypnosis, you're dealing with the subconscious, and with body talk, you're dealing with your body's energy. Pretty powerful. Yeah. So can you explain body talk a little bit?
Yeah. So body talk is a healing modality that really focuses on what is the story behind the symptoms. Like our bodies don't just have symptoms for no reason. I talk about symptoms as the language of our bodies. Your body can't send you a text message, give you a phone call. You know, it has to like give you a pain or some other sensation. And so this modality is really about like translating through the help of a practitioner, because oftentimes we don't know what our body is saying. We're like, okay, you tell me it's talking, but what the heck is it saying? It's about translating those symptoms and the messages that the body is giving.
Wow, you must have some amazing stories of how you help people. Can you give us an example?
Yeah, definitely. So actually one just pops to mind. I did a very quick session with somebody earlier this week who had never experienced body talk, and she is in her 50s. And since she was 19, her neck had a very limited range of motion. And, you know, for those seeing the video, it was basically she could only turn her neck about this far. And so in just doing basically about 15 minutes of work together, she was like, this is the most I've ever been able to move my neck since I was 19 years old. She was like crying happy tears just because she didn't think it was possible for her neck to move that way.
Now, what are other ways where we can work with our minds, stress our stress and our anxiety?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to look at kind of what we believe in terms of, you know, what's possible and also what we believe about our lives. So that's kind of where the hypnosis piece comes into play, right? So if we're constantly running around with the thoughts, you know, my life is so stressful, it's overwhelming, I can't cope with this, like those are some probably fairly common thoughts that people with stress have, then, you know, that's kind of an operating system that's running the show. So our subconscious mind is in charge 95% of the time. Most people don't realize that, but it's a huge portion of the time. We think we're running things from our conscious mind, making choices. It's really these programs in the subconscious. So if you're running around with those belief systems and, you know, maybe even saying those things to yourself over and over again, it's just creating kind of that pathway in the brain of perceiving the world in a certain way. Like everything, if you think everything is overwhelming, well, of course, everything will be overwhelming. If you can reprogram your mind to see things differently, it starts to change things.
And that's very powerful because I know when I started doing this business with helping women reduce their stress, the first thing that came out of their mouths was, I'm so stressed out. I'm overwhelmed. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. And just the panic all the time. Now, how can you turn that around? Like what other thoughts can you replace that with?
Yeah, so this is kind of what I call like doing a pattern interrupt. So you want to maybe write down a few, limiting beliefs, and we'll just take one as an example. So, everything is overwhelming, maybe, or something in that ballpark. So what can we reframe that to? Maybe it is I have the tools to be able to handle what's going on in my life, or I have the resources to support me. Or I can be organized. Like, where does the overwhelm come from? That might be helpful for someone to think of. Is it because you don't feel supported in your life? Is it because, you have so many things to keep track of and your brain is going 90 miles an hour? So where does it stem from? And then how can you create like a positive new belief of I am supported by the people in my life and I don't need to be, I wouldn't put I don't need to be overwhelmed, but that's kind of like the in parentheses, if you're supported, then it starts to replace that feeling of overwhelm. Or I can ask for help. That might be another great one because a lot of times we're overwhelmed because we don't ask for help. We're like, I'm superwoman doing everything and
Just a quick break because I need to share this with you. In the past, I had a lot of pain in my shoulder, my knees, my ankle, and I know it's from my background of playing baseball. I used to be a carpenter, from driving, and even working on my computer. I tried everything, and still, I'd be on the couch with my heating pad in pain. Well, lately, a friend introduced me to a new product called NutraSwish. Things changed for me. I'm not kidding you, within days, no pain. And now I've been taking it for a few months, and what a difference. NutraSwish is all about glutathione. I didn't even know what glutathione was. Well, you know what? I sure do now. If you are experiencing pain, especially nerve damage, I encourage you to take a look. You can find out more in the show notes or go to www.therelaxationlounge.info and there's a tab above that says pain. Back to the show. And that's so true. Like a lot of us, because we do, when we ask for help, a lot of times we feel like we're failing, that we're not good enough, that it's that fear of failure. Because if you ask for help, it feels like you can't do it.
Exactly.
And that's,
Exactly.
we've need to get away from that because there's nothing wrong with asking for help.
Nope. I believe we are put here to, need one another to be interdependent, really. It's not really to be dependent on somebody, but it's like, I help you, you help me. I'm good at certain things and I can help you with those things. And maybe somebody else is good at something else. And you can say, hey, I really am not good at this. Can you support me? Or I'm overwhelmed. I know it's a struggle. Sometimes, I struggle to ask my husband, like, can you help by doing this thing around the house? Because we feel like as women, especially, it's like, oh, I've centuries of conditioning. We take care of the house.
Yeah. And then the problem is stepping back too, because it's like, I know, my generation's not too bad, but you look at the generation beyond me, and even though they've given someone a job to do, they're watching that person do the job and it has to be done the way they do it as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The people who delegate or ask for help. And then it's like, well, you didn't load the dishwasher right. Or, you didn't fold the towels the way I fold them. Instead of just saying, thank you for helping me, like your way might not be my way. It's okay.
Yeah, it's exactly. So now you mentioned something about the brain accessing safety. Can you talk about that a little bit? How does the brain feel safe?
Yeah, so kind of from an evolutionary standpoint, the brain really likes the familiar known. And so like whatever is our normal, whatever is kind of on repeat, so to speak, is what the brain thinks is safe. Even if that is like something that feels really awful to us, like feeling overwhelmed might feel on a day-to-day basis awful and like something you don't want. But your brain, if you've lived that way for, 10, 15, 20 years, maybe even longer, it's like what your brain knows, and it wants to keep pulling you back into that kind of known state. So in the beginning, when we try to change things, you know, when we try to create new beliefs, when we try to work through, you know, whatever we're working through, it can feel really uncomfortable to the brain. The brain's like, nope, your habituated state is really about being overwhelmed. So I'm going to just help pull you back because that feels safe. And people might go, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But if we think about, you know, for centuries, it's like what your brain knew was what kept you safe. Like if you knew a certain smell was associated with a predator, that would keep you alive because you'd go, oh, there's that smell. I better, you know, hide or run or do whatever. But it's not very adaptive now for, you know, stress, overwhelm, other situations in our lives.
Absolutely not. Now, what are one of the key ways that you've seen work when we start feeling stressed? What do you recommend people to do?
Yeah, so I recommend, you know, using kind of what I was saying before is some pattern interrupts. So one could be a thought pattern interrupt. Like if you start to notice thoughts, maybe it's around something that triggers stress for you. Maybe it's just a stressful thought. You can pause and kind of replace it. Or you can use as a pattern interrupt, like if you're feeling that stress and anxiety in your body, you can do something to calm down your nervous system. So like a really simple one to teach people is we call it ear scissors. So you kind of take your fingers and you make like a V around your ears and you rub your ears just kind of like up and down, and that stimulates. There's lots of nerves. There's lots of acupoints in your ears. And if you do that, you might just start to notice, oh, I feel a little bit calmer. So that's one pattern interrupt. There's like, you know, dozens and dozens of them, but that's a simple one that you could, or you could just take some breaths too. That's another one most people know of, you know, like take a few deep breaths when you feel stressed out and just stop that state that you're in, create an interruption in those neural pathways and go, okay, I can just calm back down. I don't have to be thinking those thoughts or whatever is, you know, bringing you into that stressed state.
Yeah. And that's a really important point, that when you do want to start lowering your stress, I think the biggest key is creating that stress awareness. You know, rather than going down the stress rabbit hole and continuing going down, it just doesn't end up well.
No, it's kind of like a downward cascade, right? It's like you start feeling a little bit stressed, and then sometimes you get even into the thoughts about that. Oh my goodness, I'm getting so stressed out about this. I'm triggered. And then it makes more stress. And then you start thinking about other things that stress you out. And then finally you're in this big, you know, stress mess. Instead of saying, oh, I'm starting to notice like this situation is stressful for me, or this person saying that triggered me. So what can I do to take a little pause, be aware of that, and kind of create some balance in the nervous system, some regulation?
Yeah, you can almost make yourself like an anti-stress list. So when you are starting to feel that way, go to the list, do one of the little practices, and just change it. It's so important, and people don't do it. And I know I've done it myself. And if you keep going and going, you end up starting to make mistakes. You get frustrated. You get angry. Next thing you know, you're in tears and throwing the computer against the wall. It's like, it doesn't help you.
No, it doesn't. It's so common to kind of get to that place where, you know, you're in a very bad spot. But if you can interrupt it, especially like in the earlier parts, in the earlier stages of that, it's a lot easier to like reel yourself out of it. So
now, what are some of the symptoms of stress that where you should be watching out for?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, like feelings of tension in your body, maybe your muscles get tight, your shoulders start to creep up towards your ears, your heart starts to race. Maybe if you tune into your breath, you're like, oh, wow, I'm holding my breath. Or, you know, my breath is really shallow. Just tension in your jaw would be another area that a lot of people hold stress. Mind racing, I think, is another one. You know, we're thinking like 5 miles, you know, 50 miles ahead of where we are. We're not in the present moment. We're thinking, oh my goodness, like today I have to give this presentation at work. And, you know, I'm not here. I'm there and I'm stressed out about it.
Yeah. So we're going to start to wrap this up. So what words of wisdom from Ling do you want to leave with the audience today?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest takeaways I hope people get from this is just to start to be aware of the patterns of stress and start to use those tools, what I refer to as pattern interrupts, but, you know, they could be just simply the idea of anti-stress tools when you're feeling stressed out. It's going to benefit your health overall, your well-being, mentally, physically, all of those things. So just, you know, take that time. You're worthy of taking that time for yourself and slowing down, giving yourself what you need.
That's a big one. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about your bestseller book, You Are Not Your Diagnosis. Now, who would this book help, and how does it, you know, take them past that stage?
Yeah, so the book is really intended for anyone dealing with some sort of chronic health issue or some sort of medical diagnosis. And so the beginning of it is my own story. If you want to hear more about what I went through and then what I learned from that, that's the beginning of it. But it's really, the rest of the book is really intended to help people. I started to notice, like, everyone tends to identify with a medical diagnosis. You know, people walk around and it's like, oh, I have an autoimmune disease. It's like wearing a label, a badge on your shirt. And because of the power of our minds, if we start identifying with that, that's really problematic. That becomes who we are. And we don't want that to be who we are. We want to be, you know, our full selves. That might be a part of your life right now. You might be addressing a health concern, but don't let that become who you are. And that was how I felt too, like going through what I went through. People started to, you know, my friends were always like, oh, how are you feeling? How are you doing? You know, and I was like, I don't want to be treated like this. It feels really icky. So that's another part of the book, is like how to address that. Like when people start to just treat you like this medical condition that they know you have, like what can you do to feel more empowered to be like, I'm still the same person. We don't have to only talk about my health problems, and maybe we shouldn't talk about my health problems.
Well, and you're a very strong woman too, so you don't want to be the victim.
But it took me quite a while to get there. You know, I mean, that happened in my 20s. And so there were times where I remember just feeling like people would bring things up and ask me questions. And at that point, I didn't know that that was okay to say, you know what, I just would rather not talk about this today. You know, I appreciate your concern. There's lovely ways to say, you know, thank you for being concerned about me, but this isn't really an open topic of discussion. Like, I have the right to choose not to talk about this.
I love that, you know, creating those boundaries that you need to protect yourself.
Exactly.
And also when you're not in a position, like, you know, if you're out and about and doing something, you don't want to all of a sudden start talking about it. And I mean, there are times and places, you know, where, and who you talk to as well. Like, you don't want to be talking to everybody.
Exactly. Just because somebody happens to know, or, you know, they saw you come out of a doctor's appointment or something. It's like, that doesn't give people just, you know, carte blanche to be like, I can ask you anything about your medical situation. It's like, no, you know, yeah. And there's ways, like I said, I didn't feel like I had the ways. I didn't know how to do it politely, but there are ways to say, you know, I really appreciate that you're caring and concern about this, but, you know, today let's just focus on talking about something positive.
Exactly. It's that pattern interrupt.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes we have to teach that to other people too, is like how we want to interact. And, you know, maybe the people closest to you in your life, you can also say, like, some days I may feel like talking about this and sharing it with you. Other days I don't. Like, ask me before you just dive into, you know, oh, what's going on today? How was the doctor's appointment? X, Y, and Z, you know, just let me have some determination in terms of like what I would like, what would be best for me.
Awesome. Great message. Now, I understand you have a free hypnosis audio. Do you want to just introduce the audience to that?
Yeah. So it's called Becoming My Healthiest Self. So it's just kind of a visualization of no matter what. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you could be somebody that doesn't have a chronic health issue. Maybe you're just dealing with a lot of stress and overwhelm in your life and you want to picture something different, create something different. So I created it kind of openly enough that whatever you're wanting to intend for yourself and focus on, that you can visualize that. And just a little word about kind of using hypnosis. It usually works best if you do it kind of repeatedly over a period of time. So if you choose to download that hypnosis, don't just listen to it once and go, okay, check, done. You know, you really want to listen to it daily for at least several weeks to really have the full benefit of the practice.
Wow, that sounds powerful. Well, thank you so much for your time here. It was just great talking to you. And anybody listening or watching this, I will put Lynn's information. And yes, feel free to reach out and ask her any questions that you have. Well, thank you so much, Lynn. It was such a pleasure.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.